Welcome to the Above Politics Show.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty.
Dedicated to intelligent discussion and debate of serious political issues in the U.S. and around the globe.
Absolutely unrealistic.
Borrowing money from China to finance the war in Iraq.
President Bush continues to not let facts get in the way of his ideology.
From AbovePolitics.com, this is the Above Politics Show.
Hello and good morning, and welcome to another edition of the Above Politics Show. I am Justin Case.
And I'm Martin Bain. So how are you today, Justin?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Say, I need to tell our listeners that Martin is currently on a secret mission for ATS. He is traveling, so if you hear any background noise, that's what that's all about. We're, it's all hush-hush. We can't really talk about it, but he's doing his job for the team. And Martin, I got to say that I don't hear any gunfire in the background, so I think you're doing it. Well, I think you're doing your job very well.
Well, yeah, and I also must confess, my first secret assignment, I decided to pick a fairly politically not controversial place to go. So I'm in Europe at the moment, which typically there aren't a lot of revolutions and rebellions and loads of gunfire floating around. So I do feel pretty safe to walk the streets at night. So, but as Justin said, if there is the odd bit of noise in the background, I'm currently sitting in an airport. So if there are any, don't post it on the threads. We know there might be the odd bit of sound, and you'll be thinking, is that someone announcing an airline in the background? Yes, it is. So, but yes, so hopefully later on in the show, Justin, I've had the opportunity to talk to some people in the Netherlands, particularly regarding the US presidential elections, which I'm sure we'll be talking about later. So interesting to get a, from my point of view, and hopefully for the listeners, Justin, a European perspective on what they think about the presidential elections. And I tell you, there are some very different views in Europe, so we'll be able to talk about a couple of those.
Absolutely, and this is the closest we're going to get immediately to an ATS man in the street style sort of reporting. So, but in the meantime, before we get to that, let's jump into a last week's trivia challenge. I asked our listeners the following question. If you are a supporting cast member on a U.S. television show and your name is Ziggy, what show are you on? And expert 11 was the man on the spot with the answer. The correct show is The Wire. It's a very popular syndicated thing on HBO right now. And as I understand, it's available on the European equivalent.
Golly, and Expert 11's pretty sharp. He's probably answered, I suspect, just in the majority of questions.
Now, here's my question. See, now, Ziggy is something of a knothead. I want to know how Expert 11 knows this question, the answer to this question. Does he identify with this character? Does he watch the show? Or was it just Google? I mean, I'm not going to make any judgments. I'm just saying I want to know.
So, expert, you know what you've got to do. Find the show thread, the ATS mix feed. Tell us how you knew the answer, because we're interested about this one. Because some of the other questions, if you do enough research, you can find them. So, expert, there's your personal challenge from the Above Politics Show co-hosts. At least tell us how you found the answer. It put us out of your misery.
Okay. Well, speaking of misery, since you're on the spot there, traveling and all, what's your trivia challenge for this week?
Yes, I'm. One day, one of us will have to try and stump somebody. So, hey, I'm going to put it out there and see if this one will do. I'd like to know what the United Nations Security Council resolution number was after the state of Rhodesia declared UDI. So, just so that everyone gets that, I'd like to know what the United Nations Security Council resolution number was after Rhodesia declared UDI. So a little bit of history. I am dragging things back to the past, but hey, let's go and try that one.
Rhodesia. Boy, that's a name I haven't heard.
I try to sort of, we try to mix it up a little bit, Justin, and I make people think about it, and I'm not going to give you any clues. If you don't know what Rhodesia is called today, that's half the challenge. So maybe Justin and I should be sort of seen as teachers and education as well.
Well, I think I might actually know the answer to this one. So I'm just going to have to zip up for the moment. So let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the recent closure of the U.S. presidential primaries.
Hello, everyone. I'm Spencer Tracy. Along with Doc Hancock, I host the new BTS Mix Show. We have a lot of fun, and when we're done with our shows, we like to head over and listen to our sister shows, the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous, and the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case on the Above Network LLC. The ATS Mix Show with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous is the source for the latest information on breaking stories, conspiracy theories, and some stuff that's just plain weird. Johnny and Dave have insightful discussions about member posts, member interviews, and exclusive interviews with experts in their field. When I need the latest news and insight from the political arena, I log on to the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Martin and Justin really break it down for me. They discuss member posts, interview members about their stance on the issues, and they have access to today's noted political figures and authors. So come on over and deny boredom with me, Spencer Tracy, and my co-host, the marvelous Doc Hancock, on the BTS Mix Show. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous, and deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Be part of the revolution. The Above Network LLC.
And we're back. My name is Martin Bain, and you're listening to the Above Politics Show.
And I am still Justin Case, and it is over. By golly, the U.S. presidential primaries are over and done with. The last vote has been counted. The last voting station has been closed, and all the materials are packed away. And Hillary Clinton still hasn't made her concession speech.
So we probably need to cancel TAP. Or is that still an absolute certainty?
Well, I've actually got the bugler out here in the hallway. I mean, you know, we paid him, so he's here. Yeah. It's just a question of whether or not we wave him in. I'm still prepared to go with it because she can no longer game the system. It's no longer possible to play Grinch and steal the presidency. She's going to have to live with the fact that Barack Obama is going to be the party's nominee. And all I can say is that she must be having some serious sour grapes right now, which would account for the fact that she's going to go silent for a full 3 days before she has her official supporting speech announcement.
But I just sort of wanted to go back a little bit, and you said, woohoo, it's all over. Well, one part of it's over. The Democrats have finally decided their candidate, but let's face it, what happens now, as soon as maybe Saturday's over and it's all done and, you know, well, no doubt I think you and I will conjecture about whether there's some kind of deal going on in the background. But, hey, you've done the primaries. Guess what? You're into general election mode, aren't you? So it's going to be as fierce, as nasty, and it'll be the Republicans and the Democrats absolutely going for each other, you know, really hard, trying to smack the living daylights out of each other. So it's not really over, is it, Justin?
Oh, heavens no. It's time to take a nap, drink some electrolytes, and get ready to rumble, because the general election is always much more fierce than the primaries. And what makes things more interesting is, in purely political terms, they're going to cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war. Those 527 groups are going to come out of the woodwork with all kinds of super nasty and sophisticated and very expensive TV commercials. And at least for the next 30 days, we're all just going to be saying, wow, every time we turn on the tube, because not only are they going to try and shock us, but they're going to use the most blunt trauma. They're going to use their big guns right up front to try and subdue any dissensions in their own parties. And whether it's name your prejudice, they're going to pull it out. They're going to use it blatant.
Yeah, and that's sort of something, if you sort of drift around the world a little bit. Yeah, I don't think we see that as much in, say, certainly the UK. And hey, I welcome our members to talk about, you know, their countries, their elections. You know, we have people, you know, Expert 11 is in New Zealand. We've had other people. So, hey, come to the show thread. Tell us, you know, is it as acrimonious? Is it as nasty? Is it as brutal in your country, in the UK? we typically don't go in for the sort of real smearing, you know, where, you know, some of these special interest groups will say, right, I'm now going to run commercials on behalf of, you know, Senator John McCain, and I'm going to have them basically saying that Barack Obama is the worst man on the planet, and vice versa. Some of the special interest group for Barack Obama are then going to be digging around trying to find something out about John McCain. We typically don't have that sort of really fist on fist muckslinging. It happens, but I suppose it's probably seen as a little bit more diplomatic in the UK, that you sort of don't go, you know, face to face, actually trying to, you know, degrade the person, you know, personally. It's probably more, well, I'm going to hit you on your policies. Whereas I get the impression, and sort of be interesting to see what you think here, Justin, is I certainly looking in think that sometimes some of these special interest groups are much more interested in purely smearing the personality, the character of the person, and sometimes less about what they stand for and some of their policies, and rather hitting them there, they'd rather hit them personally.
Oh, that happens. Character attacks are part and parcel of American politics, but I don't think you guys in the UK are totally blameless. I mean, there's stuff that appears in your newspapers that I've never seen over here. I mean,
give me an example, though, because I'm sort of interested in that one, because I sort of thinking, as you were asking, as you were mentioning that just now, I was thinking, a minute, you know, do we smear in that way, in that sort of, well, I'm trying to think of the best word, the more, this is sometimes almost sanctioned smearing, i.e., you know, would I be wrong to say that some of these special interest groups, while I accept the point that some of them will be independent and have nothing to do with the candidate, would it not be fair to say that some of them or senior members of their staff may actually have some control or may be helping some of these special interest groups?
Oh, and that's always the thing to be proved. If a special interest group comes out to speak against a candidate, the very first thing that candidate does is he'll send investigators out into the field to see if there are party ties there. The textbook example, going back to the 2004 elections, are the Swift boat ads. And there was a group of Vietnam veterans who came out. They ponied up their own money, and they shot their own ads. And they were initially they were independent of the Republican Party, but as they continued to have success, eventually you had low-level operatives from the Republican Party that reached out to them and very quietly funneled money to them, and eventually, you know, that support was discovered.
But, you know, how serious would people actually take that, though? I mean, would people say, yeah, it's on a par with potentially what happened in Watergate and all those kind of things, or would people just go, well, yes, duh, so they found a link in this occasion, but hang on a minute. There's probably another 10 special interest groups on both sides that have similar links. It's just that they've been clever and sneaky and hidden it well.
The media does make more of a scandal out of it than the average voter does think of it. But at least 33% of the people who go to vote are highly partisan, and they're easily swayed by that sort of thing. When a special interest group steps forward and says, we are totally independent, we don't take money from Democrats or Republicans, then the average guy tends to take them at their word. So when their statement is disproven, then because a full third of the voter base is so heavily partisan, when the lie is put to this, then they tend to be very vocal in their opposition. Now, the one critical difference between U.S. media and U.K. media is that basically the one and only difference is you guys will put nude pictures of candidates in your newspapers, and we won't do that. But otherwise, when it comes to character attacks, as I've seen over the years, When the opposition built to Margaret Thatcher, there were, you know, plenty of vitriolic things to be said there. The same thing with John Major, even Tony Blair in his final days. had the tabloids, you know, pretty much lined up against him.
But so. I absolutely agree with you there, Justin, but I recollection, and it's always an interesting thing, but I don't recall the attacks, say, on, say, Margaret Thatcher, John Major and Tony Blair being absolutely personal in that sense of the word, that they were out to smear the character of the person. They may well have been going after them because of what they politically stood for, but I don't recall, I don't sort of have that recollection that, you know, they were just out there to just, you know, sling mud at, say, Margaret Thatcher or Tony Blair, and it was more of a personal hit. It was more that you are a bad person, you are, you know, a nasty person, and, you know, you could think of many things. I just don't recall that kind of thing. And as for, you know, nude photographs of our politicians, I'd like to think that most of our members probably wouldn't want to see naked pictures of the vast majority of the politicians that serve, you know, both certainly in the UK and the US. I can't think of I can't think of any politicians in the UK that I'd like to see even half naked. I'm sure in the US, you know, let's be quite brutal here, you know, would you want to see a naked picture of a picture of Barack Obama in a thong, or John McCain in a thong, or Hillary Clinton, you know, wandering around topless? I just don't think, you know,
I'm waiting for these candidates to go to the newspapers and say, if you pay me X amount of money, I won't do this. I'm just waiting for some clever person to turn it around and try and use it as a fundraiser, because American politicians are notorious for making any pitch to get, you know, virtually any sort of any sort of political contribution.
Oh, that's just an unpleasant thought, Justin. You know, that the fact I suppose the question would be, if you say looked at Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama and John McCain, you know, if you're the sort of editor-in-chief or commissioning editor of a major newspaper magazine, you're thinking, well, how much money would you pay Hillary not to take her clothes off, compared to how much you'd pay Barack not to take his clothes off, to how much you'd pay John McCain not to take his clothes off? There's a little jokey trivia thing. No points for this one. Let's just see what our listeners think.
Somehow I think that by virtue of his age, John McCain would win the bidding contest on that.
Let's just see what our members think about that one. So there's no points for this one. It's just a little bit of fun that, you know, we can all have. You're an editor of a paper in the States. How much money would you give these three people if they pitched to you, pay me some money and I won't take my clothes off? I just want to see what our members think a newspaper might actually pay.
that's a good one. Now, speaking of alternative points of view, while you have been busy with your secret mission, I'm sure you've had a chance to talk to people there in Europe about their views on the presidential election.
I have, and I'm going to say I've been in the Netherlands. So, you know, I'm not going to speak for the whole of Europe, but certainly in the Netherlands, and I've been using public transport, which, you know, to someone from the UK, to get on a train and have a confidence is going to get there within 2 or 3 minutes and it's clean and tidy. And that's an interesting thing for me to see. But certainly talking to a couple of people from the Netherlands, and we just got talking about these things. And funny enough, there was a Canadian there as well, which is sort of surreal, but never mind. It was interesting to see his viewpoints as well. But certainly the two Dutch people I was speaking to, I sort of asked them directly. It was part of it. We were just talking around some things, Justin. I said, so how often and how much is the US presidential elections put on their local news services? And both of them said it's significant. They both knew about it. They both knew who the three candidates were. They both knew the sort of major issues. They all knew that, you know, Hillary Clinton was potentially fighting for her lives. Interestingly, they also said to me that they knew more about the Democratic candidates than the Republican candidates, which, if you think about it, that's not unrealistic, because the more exciting thing in the last umpteen weeks, Justin, has been the, you know, fisticuffs between, you know, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. But interestingly, of the couple of people I was talking to on the train, one of them said he felt that the Democrats would win. The other guy said he felt it was the Republicans would win. And I sort of thought, hang on a minute, I want to dive in on the Republican one, because, you know, you and I have spoken about it, and yeah, you can sort of get the sense of a groundswell here. And interestingly, he came up with something I've said. He says he thinks that when Americans actually get in front of that machine, how many of them will not be able to take Barack Obama's color into consideration? Which I thought was interesting coming from someone in the Netherlands. Now, you know, I don't want people saying to me, oh, you know, you're not getting a representative sample. Absolutely, I wasn't. There were a couple of guys on the train. We just happened to be talking. But it was interesting that he said he felt, and this was somebody from Europe, from the Netherlands, felt that the color of Barack Obama's skin may actually be a bigger issue than people actually think it is.
And now I myself, actually living in this country, having seen the changes that I've seen over the last 40 years, I would tend to disagree. I think that race and gender used to be tremendous, insurmountable facts. They were deep and abiding prejudices that held people back, and while those prejudices do still exist, I don't think that they are the sole determiners of political status as they once were.
But I know you and I have spoken about this, that in the primaries, there were probably much more younger people who wanted to change and influence things, but you sort of said, and it's sort of, I think, highlighted in voting statistics, that a greater proportion of older people will take the time to vote in a general election, and that's probably going to be the people who will have probably more of these entrenched views than maybe people who are younger, who have probably grown up in a much more multicultural society. When you think of, you know, across most of the first and second worlds, the populations are getting older. So if you actually look at the demographics of people in the States, there's probably a greater number of people, I call them the silver generation, you know, maybe 40, 50, 60 years old, who will, you know, they will have lived in a time when, you know, being racist, or, you know, they would have lived in some states where, you know, colored people weren't allowed to, you know, drive, go on the same bus, or if they were, the buses were segregated. They didn't go to the same schools as colored people.
Well, that's very true. In terms of the 2008 election, the overwhelming majority of voters have been under 30. And it's fair to say that 70% of the voters who took part in the primaries were under 30, but when it's time for the general election, then things turn around drastically, tremendously. 75% of the people who go to vote in the general election will be over the age of 30, and they will tend to vote with older prejudices in mind, and then more importantly, they will also tend to vote with their wallets.
Absolutely, but for me, it was just interesting to sort of, you know, talk certainly with these couple of people on the train, that, you know, and the person who was talking about the Democrats and was sort of happy to sort of turn around and say some things regarding the, you know, the American system was, or I don't know, but he was certainly definitely under 30. And I just thought it was an interesting political analysis to come from someone who is that much younger, that that's what he thought and saw that. And it was interesting to talk to the Canadian, and you know, because, you know, clearly the US is a fairly large part of what goes on in Canada. But interestingly, they all, when I sort of said to them, but, you know, do you not feel it's a bit of overkill? They all said, no, because the president of the United States has such an influence across the world, and particularly in the Netherlands, you know, there's still a lot of NATO presence, you know, NATO headquarters, yeah, aren't too far away. So they sort of felt that wasn't, you know, a bad thing, that it was something that was important because of just the influence on the world going forward.
Well, now, speaking of influence, we need to take a short break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about the influence that that we've had thanks to our most recent show.
Absolutely.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause by giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
And we are back, and Martin and I are now ready to wade into the mailbag here. Our last show, during which we interviewed the press officer for the British National Party. Well, honestly, folks, it just scared the living daylights out of the people in the ATS mailroom here. They, you know, we get mail from, you know, fans and groupies and the like. But when the mail arrived by the truckload this time, they really wanted to, you know, they really wanted to have a word with us. They thought we had maybe gone overboard with our promotions, but it turns out it's the reaction to this BNP interview.
Absolutely, and I know, you know, I know you and I will, you know, make no apologies for talking to people who have something to say in politics. I, you know, clearly you and I, and if we haven't said it before, we're going to say it now. Our mandate is to bring political views to you that you may not hear anywhere else. And that's something that I'm passionate about. And I know you, Justin, as well. You and I have spoken about this off air. We are passionate. Yes, going through some of the topics and threads that people have posted, you know, why do we do this? Because we want to bring a different political view to you so that you can have a balance than just the normal, say, in the US, two parties, in the UK, three plus some others. So I will defend absolutely our right to bring different political views to you. That's not to say, Justin, if you and I could line up an interview with Senator McCain, Senator Barack Obama, if I could line one up with, you know, with Tony Blair, I'd take an interview with Tony Blair, but with Gordon Brown, with Cameron, with leaders of other mainstream political parties, I'd jump at those as well.
Hey, when it comes to what you support and what you don't support, media such as the kind that you're listening to right now plays an important role in swaying opinions and changing minds. You know, somebody in the last show thread joked, saying, well, who's next to interview, the KKK? And, you know, really, they haven't returned my call yet. But if I could get an interview with them, I'd take it, because after you heard that interview, if you didn't like their stuff, you'd know why. You'd be able to say, point by point specifically, why you didn't go for that.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was interesting to see some of the questions. I mean, it's good to see we got someone who I don't think has posted before, which was John GT, who was sort of, you know, certainly fair, you know, first time I'd seen him there, you know, and his view about, you know, there was nothing offensive about the interview. But I think, you know, I'm happy to defend this. You know, it's not our intention to get people on the show and trip them up, make them look stupid. There are people both in the US, both in the UK and around the world who do that, Justin. I certainly don't want to do that. I want people to, you know, us to give them an environment that they feel comfortable to talk to us in, you know. And I've got to say, some of the things that Simon Darby said, I think you could regard as controversial. He said some things that maybe to a lot of people, if, you know, and certainly to our members, they were controversial. They're not the kind of views you hear on mainstream media.
Sure. You know, if I want to support somebody, I'm going to make sure that he gets an interview like this. If I also don't want to support somebody, and I don't have to say a negative word against them, I can give them all the rope they want, and I can let them hang themselves by giving them an interview like this.
Absolutely. You know, and we got, you know, Infinite. Yeah, you know, he came on there and said, hey, and thank you very much, Infinite. Well, you know, this is great for us, because it may, you know, it realizes we're doing a good job. He said, the interview is really good. And to me, that's the ultimate praise. You know, to me, that's one of the ultimate feedbacks we can get. You know, someone's listened to it, and, you know, I've no idea whether Infinite would agree or disagree with the views of the BNP. Hey, Infinite, when you listen, if you want to post something up, you're more than welcome. If you don't, I fully understand. But that's what we want to hear. Someone who just says, it's a good interview. I don't have to agree with what the person said, and I don't have to disagree with what the person said. It's just something I haven't heard before. And I have to turn around and say, from my perspective, the BNP, a lot of people in the UK would probably not want to give them any air. There's this view that, you know, any publicity is oxygen. And no, I fundamentally disagree with that. If they're a political force, and clearly Simon clearly indicated to us that in certain areas in the United Kingdom at a town level, they do have influence. People are making an effort to go out and vote for them. Therefore, as far as I'm concerned, they have something to say.
Well, I'd like to give you one example. Here in the United States, if the AP show had existed in the 1950s, I would have done everything in my power to get some microphone time with Joseph McCarthy. This is not a guy that I, historically, I don't appreciate him, and I think he did a lot of damage to this country. But, you know, I would have never had to say a negative word against him if I had had just 10 minutes of microphone time where I could put him at ease, and I could just let him say what he was naturally inclined to say. Once that interview got out, you know, it probably would have shut him down a lot sooner than he was eventually brought down. I mean, that really is the power of this very democratic medium.
Absolutely, and I just maybe take that slightly further and say, if this technology had existed, you know, in the early 1930s, and you know, you and I would have had the opportunity to talk with Adolf Hitler, to talk with Chamberlain, to talk with Churchill. I'd have ripped all their hands off to do that one. You don't have to agree with, you know, certainly you can turn around and say some of the political views that Adolf Hitler espoused maybe aren't that pleasant and, you know, probably today aren't seen as being that nice, and they probably don't have the broad spectrum of support, but clearly they are views, and, you know, these people were charismatic, or there was something about them. I'd have jumped at the opportunity to interview Adolf Hitler, Mussolini. I'd have done it.
Now, speaking of doing things, we still have this bugler out in the hallway here, and I, like I said, I've already paid for him. So, you know, if we tell him to go away, he's not going to care. So,
but I would notice that, you know, whatever you paid seems a bit odd, because I know that TuneIn Sport, you know, sent us a YouTube clip of, you know, playing tap. So, you know, I got to say, we shouldn't really have spent the money. We should have just gone on to YouTube.
Well, I wanted the personal touch for this. I just figured, you know, hey, as long as we're going to do something that some people are going to think is good and some people are going to think is bad, that it might as well have been done with a human touch.
Apps. Okay, I can buy that one, Jess. I can buy that one. Yeah, if we're going to, you know, say bye-bye to Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, we might as well do it in style.
All right, then. Well, you know, I understand you've got things to do and places to go, so let's wrap up the show and let's bring in Smitty here, and we'll go out on taps.
And but just one thing before we go. We are going to be lining up an interview with the General Secretary of the Communist Party of Britain. So from my perspective, the opposite end of the political spectrum to the BNP, we will be getting a thread up so that you can ask questions hopefully today or tomorrow. But just to say, you know, I think both Justin and I recognize that, yeah, we need to get balance in here. We are looking at other people, but we've got a interview lined up with the General Secretary of the Communist Party of Britain. To me, I think this is it's not a balance interview, but it's interesting to see. But I think communism in the UK, and you spoke about Joseph McCarthy, I suspect you will get very, very few people even sort of wanting to talk about communism in the US, whereas in the UK, it is still seen. It is something that, you know, you can talk about in decent and polite company.
Well, I hadn't gotten the memo from the front office, but I'm glad to hear that went through. So, you know, everybody, please do dust off your body armor and get ready for this one, because, you know, we're not going to assault you with stuff like this all the time, but we're doing this to make the point that, because here in the 21st century, you don't hear from these guys all the time, you should hear from them occasionally, so that if you want to dispute them, that after an education like what we're going to bring to you, you'll be able to do it intelligently, point by point, and without spilling your coffee.
Absolutely. So with that, I'm Martin Bain.
I'm Justin Case, and we leave you with taps for Hillary Clinton's presidential ambitions.
I guess my favorite message was from a woman named Angela. Keep strong, she said. It's not over until the lady in the pantsuit says it is.
Yeah. You've been listening to the Above Politics Show. If you have a comment, suggestion, or an opposing view, please deliver it at abovepolitics.com. The views expressed on the Above Politics Show do not necessarily reflect the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and please continue to deny apathy.